inanıyorum ki Türkiye-Rusya ilişkilerinde çok farklı bir sayfayı da açacaktır. Gerek enerjide, gerek son bu Karadeniz hattının tarımda, tahılda buradan atılan adımlar, turizmde yapılan görüşmeler, ulaşımla ilgili olarak atılan adımlar.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is an update on the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Turkey. Now, if you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been covering Turkey in some detail over the last 6 months or so. And there's a real crisis going on within the country. They've got extremely high rates of inflation, almost 80% at the last count. The lira has been performing very badly. It fell 44% in 2021 and has continued to fall during 2022. And the predominant reason why the economy is in such a dire situation is that Turkey is a net importer and it imports large volumes of natural gas to produce electricity, oil and gasoline, and food. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, the price of all of those items skyrocketed following the initial invasion and have remained at high levels over the last few months. So that's put a lot of pressure on Turkey. And in today's episode, I want to tell you about a recent meeting that's been held between President Erdogan of Turkey and President Putin of Russia, following which they've made a joint announcement that they want to bring the two countries closer together. So we'll have a look at exactly what happened during that meeting and what was said. We'll then look at the current trading relationship between the two countries. We'll talk about the arms deal that was done back in 2019. We'll have a look at the level of tourism that takes place between the two countries. I'll talk briefly about the relationship with regards to nuclear power. We'll have a look at the relationship between the two countries with regards to the conflicts that are ongoing in Syria, Libya and Azerbaijan. I'll then go on to talk about secondary sanctions because a lot of governments in the Western world are concerned about Turkey's ongoing relationship with Russia. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months and what the implications of this are for the global economy. So before we get started, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so you can skip over things if you're not that interested in them. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Following a recent four-hour meeting between President Putin and President Erdogan, both countries have announced their intention to increase cooperation in the fields of transport, agriculture, finance, and construction. Now, this meeting followed on from a recent meeting that Turkey orchestrated between Russia, Ukraine, and the United Nations, with a view to unlocking Ukraine's Black Sea ports and allowing the export of grain. In a joint statement, President Putin and President Erdogan stressed the need for the full implementation of the Istanbul Agreement, including the unimpeded export of Russia's grain, fertilizer, and raw materials for their production. In addition to these two announcements, both leaders also agreed to switch part of the payments for Russian gas to rubles. The two nations also reaffirmed their determination to act in coordination and solidarity in the fight against all terrorist organizations in Syria. So there are some really interesting points that are coming out of this meeting. But the fundamental issue here is that Turkey is negotiating with Russia. As it stands at the moment, all Western nations and all members of NATO are sanctioning Russia. They are refusing to do any business with Russia. They're certainly refusing to sit around the table and negotiate until Russia withdraws from Ukraine. Now, Turkey have taken a neutral stance on the whole situation. They have a good long-standing relationship with both Russia and Ukraine, and they've managed to keep that going throughout the conflict. So Turkey have not joined in any of the sanctions, and they've not said that they will stop doing any business with Russia. And so far, the rest of the Western world and NATO have allowed Turkey to do this. But this meeting and this statement that Russia and Turkey will now come closer together and do more business is really testing the boundaries of what NATO and the Western world are prepared to accept. Everybody else is suffering the pain of the sanctions right now. These sanctions have been designed to cause economic hardship for Russia in an effort to get them to stop the war. But the flip side of all the sanctions is that it's causing a lot of pain in the Western world. And Turkey are looking to bypass all of the sanctions and use this as an opportunity to benefit the country. And there's a really big question here as to whether or not this is within the spirit of what the rest of NATO are doing. One really interesting point that's come out of President Erdogan and Putin's meeting is that they are now looking to make payments for natural gas supplies in rubles. Now, this is actually a really smart move by Turkey because Turkey is struggling to find foreign currency. It's run out of currency. It's had to find lots of US dollars to keep buying in large amounts of oil and food. And that's one of the real problems in the economy right now. And the flip side of running out of currency is that the central bank has been unable to support the lira, and we've seen a further deterioration in the value of the lira. So this is a really vicious circle that Turkey have got themselves into. By agreeing to pay in rubles, firstly, it means that Turkey no longer need to find dollars or euros for these payments. And secondly, by paying in rubles, Turkey is opening up the potential that it could start to do some bond trading with Russia. I've talked about this on other videos. Turkey needs some form of cash injection to get the economy through this really difficult period. It needs a bailout, but Turkey is not going to go to the IMF or the World Bank. It's a member of the G20. It's one of the biggest economies in the world. And President Erdogan will definitely not want to be seen to be going cap in hand to an aid agency. So what he would rather do is either trade deals or some sort of bond deal. And by having an agreement with Russia that it can pay for natural gas supplies in rubles, that means that it could do currency swaps with Russia or even sell some bonds to it. And Turkey would then be able to use the capital that was raised from those swaps and bonds to pay for this natural gas. So essentially, they'd be creating a debt facility with Russia, but it would be a way of paying for this natural gas supply without needing to dip into the currency reserves that the central bank has. And that would then give the opportunity for the central bank to start supporting the lira in the international markets again, and maybe will bring back the valuation of the currency. So there's a really smart move here from Turkey's side of things. In terms of Russia's perspective, obviously President Putin is looking to develop the ruble as a direct competitor to the dollar. So he wants more countries around the world to start paying him in rubles, because that then raises the profile of the ruble and means that it could potentially become a genuine competitor globally to the dollar. Now, one of the really interesting issues that's come out following the meeting between President Putin and President Erdogan is that Turkey could potentially be a warehouse and a bridge for dealing with Russia. The head of Istanbul's Ferrous and Non-Ferrous Metals Exporters Association said Russian demand had increased for Turkish products it could no longer source from European companies. And Turkish companies had received inquiries from European businesses about supplying Russia via Turkey. He went on to say, "What Russia cannot buy from Germany, Italy and France, they're buying from us. Separately, a lot of EU companies are planning to sell their products to Russia via Turkey. They want to use Turkey as a warehouse and a bridge, while Russia wants supply from Turkey." And he added that this was a historic opportunity for Turkish companies. So essentially what's being proposed here is a total contravention of the sanctions. The sanctions have been put in place to put hardship onto Russia, to prevent them from being able to access various types of technology and products that they will need to develop their economy. If Turkey is allowed to act as a conduit, to sit in the middle, to take things from the Western world and then sell them to Russia as if they were Turkish products, then basically Russia can still get full access to everything that it needs from the Western world. And whilst this would be highly beneficial to Turkey and the Turkish economy, I don't think the rest of the Western world are going to sit back and allow Turkey to essentially wipe out all of the sanctions, because that would mean that all of the hardship and all the additional expense that all of the Western world has gone to try to enforce these sanctions so far would be a complete waste of time. So I think this is going to be a really big pinch point for Turkey. They may think that they can get away with it. So far, they've been able to sit on the fence and do business with both Russia and the Western world. They've had their cake and they're eating it. But going forward, there's no way that the Western world will allow Turkey to be able to benefit from these sanctions and essentially grow its own economy at the expense of everybody else's. Now, one of the really interesting things about the announcement that was made following the recent meeting is the fact that Russia and Turkey are now looking to cooperate with regards to the war against terrorism, because in recent conflicts, they've been on opposite sides of the fence. In Syria, Turkey is backing fighters who once appeared close to toppling the incumbent president, until Russian intervention shored up the Syrian leader's defences and helped drive the insurgents back to a small pocket of northwest Syria on the Turkish border. In February 2020, when an airstrike killed at least 34 Turkish soldiers, Turkey poured reinforcements into the northwestern region to stall advances by Russian-backed Syrian government forces, which had displaced 1 million people. Turkey has recently announced plans for another incursion into northern Syria, targeting areas controlled by Syrian Kurdish YPG fighters, which has drawn criticism from Russia, Iran, and the USA. In Libya, it's a similar story, where Turkish military intervention turned back an assault on the internationally recognised government in Tripoli by eastern-based forces who were supported, according to United Nations experts, by fighters from the Russian Wagner Group. And finally, in Azerbaijan, Turkey supported a military assault to drive ethnic Armenian forces out of much of a mountainous enclave, a region which Russia considers part of its sphere of influence. So as the two countries have been on opposing sides, I'm not entirely sure how they're going to come together to fight the war against terrorism, because their definition of terrorism is entirely different. Turkey is a member of NATO, and as part of the alliance, countries are expected to be involved in the design and build of new aircraft and arms. And the F-35 fighter jet is a program that's been in development for over 20 years. And as part of Turkey's membership of NATO, it was handed a variety of different production facilities. However, problems started to arise when Turkey decided that it wanted to buy some Russian equipment. Now, members of NATO are not permitted to buy and utilise any arms directly from Russia, the concern being that the computer technology and artificial intelligence could potentially represent a security risk for the whole of NATO. In 2019, Turkey announced that it was buying the S-400 missile system directly from Russia, and despite the fact that it was warned repeatedly by the USA not to do this, the purchase went ahead, and it's reported that Turkey undertook some testing of the missiles. As a direct result of that action, Turkey was ejected from the F-35 program, so all of the production was taken away from Turkey, so they lost all of that potential revenue, and they were no longer permitted to buy any of the aircraft. In addition to those measures, the USA also brought in some formal sanctions against Turkey, directly relating to defence issues. Despite being sanctioned, in September 2021, President Erdogan met with President Putin and announced that Turkey was considering more joint defence industry steps with Russia, including the purchase of fighter jets and submarines. President Erdogan went on to suggest that Turkey could also buy more S-400 missile systems. Russia is the single most important supplier of energy products to Turkey. In 2021, around 45% of all natural gas imported by Turkey came directly from Russia. And this natural gas is really important because it's used to produce electricity, it's also used by Turkish industry, and it's also fed to Turkish households. So it's a really important part of the Turkish infrastructure. In addition to the natural gas, around 40% of all gasoline imported into Turkey comes from Russia, and around 17% of all oil. But it's not just the importation of the fuel itself. Turkey has also signed an agreement with Rosatom, which is the Russian nuclear power business, to build a large nuclear power plant that would provide around 10% of all of Turkey's electricity. And it's in discussions to potentially extend that contract to include two more power plants. One of the other main areas that Turkey benefits from Russia is in tourism. Russian tourists represent the largest single visitor group out of any country in the world for Turkey. In 2019, around 7 million tourists came directly from Russia. Now, obviously, that figure has dropped over the last couple of years because of the COVID pandemic and also the war in Ukraine. But it still represents a major source of foreign currency income for Turkey. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, the need for foreign currency is really important right now for Turkey, so they are looking for any source of income. So Russian tourism remains important for Turkey. And in an ongoing attempt to increase the amount of tourism between the two countries, Turkey has agreed to adopt the MIR payment system that Russia is operating. It's sanctioned with regards to Visa and MasterCard, and so any travellers from Russia are unable to make overseas payments. By accepting the MIR system, it means that those tourists who come to Russia will be able to pay with cards. So this will make Turkey more attractive as a location for Russians to go to. They won't just need to bring cash, they can actually pay on cards. And obviously from Turkey's point of view, they want to attract as many Russian tourists as possible. So this is a smart move by Turkey to try to build up that level of tourism. So Turkey is looking to strengthen its relations with Russia and do more business. And the problem and the risk around that is that it could find itself subject to secondary sanctions. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've talked about secondary sanctions a lot. And secondary sanctions are basically applied against countries who are doing business with Russia. So the existing sanctions have been set up to cause problems for Russia. And in order to make these sanctions work, as much pressure as possible will be applied to anybody who's doing business with Russia. Now, if Turkey is looking to expand the level of business, then it will come under the microscope. And the risk for Turkey is that if the Western world sees this as a way of bypassing the sanctions, then Turkey itself could be subject to sanctions. Now, I mentioned earlier in the video that the USA actually sanctioned Turkey with regards to the purchase of the S-400 missile system. Now, those sanctions were predominantly focused on defense issues. They were not economic sanctions that were looking to target the Turkish economy. But if Turkey is seen to be stepping out of line and helping Russia, then it could find itself subject to severe sanctions from an economic perspective, and that would be the last thing that Turkey needs right now. The economy is already on the brink, and they can't afford to have any more sanctions applied against them. Now, one of the major benefits of Turkey remaining neutral has been that they've been able to keep an open dialogue with both Russia and Ukraine. And as a result of that, Turkey was able to orchestrate discussions between the United Nations, Russia and Ukraine to talk about unlocking the Black Sea ports and releasing all of the grain that Ukraine exports to the rest of the world. The blockade of Ukrainian ports by Russia's Black Sea fleet trapped tens of millions of tons of grain and stranded many ships, which caused global supply chain bottlenecks and stoked food and energy price inflation. And on the 22nd of July, Russia and Ukraine signed a landmark deal to unblock the grain exports from the Black Sea ports. The deal means that around $10 billion worth of grain is now available for sale and will allow roughly 20 million tons of last year's harvest to be exported. It is hoped that the deal that's been signed will avert famine amongst tens of millions of people in poorer nations by injecting more wheat, sunflower oil, fertilizer and other products into world markets, including for humanitarian needs at lower prices. Addressing Western concerns that reopening shipping lanes could leave Ukraine open to attack, Russia's defense minister said Moscow would not seek to take advantage of the demining of Ukraine's ports. Safe passage into and out of the ports would be guaranteed in what one official called a de facto ceasefire. Though Ukraine has mined nearby offshore areas as part of its defences, Ukrainian pilots will guide ships along safe channels in its territorial waters. Monitored by a joint coordination centre based in Istanbul, the ships will then transit the Black Sea to Turkey's Bosphorus Strait and proceed to world markets. Senior UN officials said the deal was expected to be fully operational in a few weeks and would restore grain shipments from the three reopened ports to pre-war levels of 5 million tons per month. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, if you've been following the channel, you'll know that Turkey is in a very dangerous situation right now. The economy is at breaking point, and President Erdogan is doing all he can to try to turn the position around. Inflation is now at almost 80% in Turkey, and the Turkish lira has been absolutely hammered in the international markets. So he's trying to do whatever he can to boost the economy. And Russia is in dire straits as well. The number of countries that it's allowed to deal with have diminished rapidly since the invasion of Ukraine started, so it's looking to develop new markets. And as Turkey is already one of Russia's biggest trading partners, it makes absolute sense for Russia to develop that relationship further. From Turkey's point of view, it's obviously very attractive to do deals with Russia because Russia can supply more gas and oil and food, and Turkey is in desperate need of all of those items. And if it doesn't actually have to pay in cash for all of those items, then that's even better. If it can do some currency swaps or bonds, then that is a good outcome for Turkey. But the big problem here is that Turkey is walking a tightrope. The rest of the Western world has watched while Turkey has stayed neutral. It's stated that it wants to keep dealing with Russia, and everybody's been happy for that arrangement to carry on. But now that Turkey has announced that it wants to do more business, and potentially it could act as a conduit and warehouse and bridge other deals for the Western world, I think that is going to bring this situation to a head. I don't think the rest of the world will be happy with Turkey's proposal. It certainly won't be happy for it to do backdoor deals whereby it's selling technology directly into Russia. That is an absolute no-no. So I think what we'll see over the next 3 to 6 months is everybody will watch to see what's announced by Turkey and Russia. If there are more military deals announced, I think that will cause major problems. I don't think the US and the rest of NATO will stand by and allow Turkey to buy fighter jets or any other sort of arms because there's a real security risk in that. So if that happens, I think we'll see everything starting to blow up. But even if it doesn't do any defense deals and it starts to do more trade deals, I think everyone will be looking to see what the terms of those deals are and whether or not Turkey is essentially getting into bed with Russia. And that could be a real risk for the rest of NATO because they won't want Turkey acting on both sides of the fence. So there's a really big risk here for Turkey that by doing more business with Russia, it forces itself out of NATO and leaves itself exposed. But from an economic point of view, I can see exactly why Turkey are doing this. They're desperate. They need something to sort out the situation. And this represents a really interesting opportunity. So it will be fascinating to see what deals are announced, what's agreed, and whether or not the rest of the Western world is prepared to live with it, or whether this brings everything to a head and we see Turkey having to make a decision as to whether or not it's in NATO or it's going to join Russia. Really interesting times. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.